It is with a heavy heart that the Apocalypse Radio Podcast must announce the death of its fearless leader, David Snyder. He was killed on a routine late fee collection in Sector 5. The killer, a terror person who had returned Cutthroat Island 27 days late, impaled Snyder with its terror beak when he insisted on payment. He is survived by his AI friend Chad and fellow co-workers Mike, Ryan, and Jackie, who said upon learning of Dave's death, quote, "It's about damn time." Snyder's body is set to be dropped into the last remaining ocean on the planet, in accordance with his will. But it is hoped that the massive amounts of Mountain Dew Livewire in his body will not negatively affect ocean life in the area. We now return you to the Apocalypse Video Podcast, now hosted by Mike, Jackie, and newcomer to the show, Davis Snyder.
Welcome, Honorable 007. He's the one and only Sean Connery.
Welcome to Japan, Mr. Bond.
He's bigger than life, facing a thousand deaths. And you only live twice, and twice is the only way to live.
We're too late.
Well, at least he died on the job.
Bond is dead.
Bond is alive.
Kill Bond! Now!
No matter what the odds, they don't stand a chance against James Bond, Sean Connery, 007. Bond, the world's greatest gentleman agent, with a license to kill. And he never misses a chance.
What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?
Bond is back, grabbing love where he finds it.
Like a lamb to the slaughter.
Everywhere. Bond rises in the east. The odds, 1,000 to 1. But they don't stand a chance.
Get down!
All this is just a drop in the ocean. The best yet from the film creators of 007.
Tiger said, from now on, you must do everything in Japanese style.
Everything?
Hello, and welcome to the Apocalypse Video Bondcast. I'm the host, Dave, and Jackie, Mike, answer me something. Why does Taco Bell taste different from all other Mexican food?
Well, there is an answer there, but that was not very funny.
I mean, I love cheesy gordita crunches, and I also love Filiberto's chimichangas. I love them both. What a movie! Racism in the 60s! I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by fellow agents, Jackie.
Bad news from outer space.
Hawaii to Jupiter 16! Hawaii to Jupiter 16! Dave to Mike!
Oh, the things I do for England.
The Bondcast is back, you guys. I mean, we thought it was gone. We all thought I was dead for a little bit, but I came back. I just faked my death. It was actually a lot harder to get me out of the bottom of the sea than to just kill me off. Like, that was a big operation.
Yeah, we went through a lot of trouble to do, actually.
Yeah, I know, but I thank you guys for doing that. You could have just left me at the bottom of the sea, but you got me. You brought me back. Like Bond in this movie we're talking about, you only live twice. And I got to ask you guys, is this the first time that either of you have lived twice?
It's the first time I've lived
twice. Oh! Yeah. Same.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the last one we did was Thunderball. It seemed like, you know, issues aside, it seemed like all of us kind of enjoyed ourselves, if I recall, right? It's been a while.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I remember feeling positively, I like Thunderball. On that one.
The only thing I know about this one is it's the one where he dresses up like he like goes into yellow
quote
face.
Unquote becomes Japanese, which we will get to. But I know what you're about to say. I was expecting it to be a lot worse.
I was expecting it to be a lot more, too. It's like so it's quick, and I feel like it doesn't serve any point.
It's, I mean, as far as yellow.
Oh, I thought you meant the movie in general. Oh, no. I was expecting it to be quick, but it didn't really serve a point.
No.
The yellow face, but it could have, I mean, it could have, it's not good. It's obviously not good. I was expecting something
worse.
Much worse.
It's very clear
so
this
that's
one
good.
Is. It's clear this is the one I think that Austin Powers pulls the most from.
Oh, yeah.
As far as what it's making fun of.
Is this the first one where we see Blofeld?
The Blofeld reveal, yeah.
Where we, yeah, the okay. reveal. And it's Donald. It's our old buddy, Donald Pleasance. My God, he's turned more evil than Michael.
Evil our old pal, die. That wino, Donald Pleasance.
Now it's flipped. Now it's good must die, Mr. Bond.
Good must die.
Nice. Good dies tonight.
Twice.
Oh my God. Well, you said so served little purpose. Mike, why don't you let's just jump right into it. Why don't you tell us the plot of You Only Live Twice?
Okay. So we open on American spaceship being swallowed up.
Yeah, we start in space.
We start in space, which is exciting.
American spaceship gets gobbled up by a claw machine.
I did see this is directed by Lewis Gilbert, who directed Moonraker, who went on to direct Moonraker. So I love that this guy's probably like, how can
big
we?
Oh, you have seen you have seen Moonraker.
Oh, yeah.
I love Moonraker.
Oh, you cheated. Okay.
I mean, I've seen
you looked ahead in my syllabus here. You all. Oh.
I saw that in a long time ago.
I'm excited for us to get to
I thought you cheated and looked at the teacher's syllabus.
No, I saw that one the last time you did a Bond podcast.
Okay, that's understandable.
Many, many moons ago.
Okay, so spaceships are basically getting swallowed up like American and Soviets.
Mike, get back in! Get back in!
Get back in there. No, we're getting swallowed up. It's very goofy.
It's actually safer in here.
It's like very, it's very silly the way that this is shown.
It's you know, it's the 60s. It's limited means as far as special effects.
The 4K is not doing this any favors. You can see the strings.
They were trying. Look, it was the space race was on. Our brains were on space.
But I gotta imagine for 1967, this was probably, I would assume this was like cutting edge visual effects.
Some of it.
There was
2001 Space Odyssey was like the next year.
Yeah, true.
There was a lot of, especially a lot of aerial shots in this one that I thought looked like gorgeous.
Yeah, there's
expensive.
Some good stuff in the movie. It's not the space,
but you
good
know.
Looking stuff. It's
yeah,
not the space
there's gorgeous
stuff.
Photography, which we'll get into, which a very acclaimed cinematographer worked on this movie. But we'll get to that anyway. But Hawaii to Jupiter 16.
Yeah. So basically the idea is like the Americans think it's the Soviets, and the Soviets think it's the Americans. And I love like this beginning scene where you have like. I don't know where this is, but it's like some conference and the big important tables of like the United States and the Soviets are arguing. And then very like I love that like England, like little little man energy of like, well, actually, we're here still. And we think like no one gives a crap what you
actually,
think.
Actually,
just because you're correct about
right.
this doesn't mean we actually want to listen to you, fucking UK.
May I ask what motive? Our Russian friends would have for wishing to destroy American spacecraft.
My government sees this as nothing less than a blatant attempt to gain complete and absolute control of space itself for military purposes.
We don't agree. Her Majesty's government is not convinced that this intruder missile originated from Soviet Russia. A tracking station in Singapore reported faint echoes of this craft coming down in the Sea of Japan area. Might I suggest, gentlemen, that this is where you should concentrate your intelligence forces.
It's so, the guy is so pompous. I'm like, we don't agree.
No one asked you.
Hey, we're arguing over here. Shut up, Brit.
Your time's over.
Go sit at the kids' table. Yes.
The big boys are talking now.
And we're going to blow each other up.
And the British guy is just like, well, we have a man in Hong Kong, right? Well, I'll show you. You guys might be in space, but we've got a horny spy.
Yeah, just cuts to James like
in bed with a woman in Hong Kong.
This How crazy goes. Would it be? It's like, let's cut to the video feed now. And it's just thrusting.
We have a man on the...
Oh, God, and, cut.
Yeah, this is why no one listens to you, England. This is why you've lost your hegemony. You are not important because you wasted everything on weird sex perverts.
Why do you spend so much money on your sex pest spy division?
We didn't say turn it off, but you can leave it on. But the meeting will still go on. But
yeah, leave it on. Leave the feed on. it's basically, so he's investigating. This is where, the bottom line is Spectre is trying to stoke a war. They're the ones from a secret volcano base in Japan.
As you do.
Are launching,
They're like stealing the spacecrafts and kidnapping like astronauts from the U.S. and the Soviet Union to further stoke like Cold War shit.
And hopefully they blow each other up, and then there's a new reign of power or whatever. I mean, it's honestly makes more sense than some of the other Bond movies, as weird as it is. Like, I understand it.
It's a fairly simple, motivation. But yeah, when we cut to Bond in Hong Kong, we get like one of the grosser things he's ever said in these movies about Chinese women.
Isn't it
tasting.
Like his opening line?
Yeah, it's his first line. He says something really gross to the woman, and then she responds in like this dialogue written in like broken English. It's all very cringe.
Why do Chinese girls taste different from all other girls?
You think we better, huh?
No, just different. Like Peking duck is different from Russian caviar, but I love them both.
Darling, I give you very best duck.
Well, that'd be lovely.
Well, no, Yoshi, I said that I liked both the things, so clearly I'm not racist.
Oh, how could I be racist
funny.
When
it's
I'm
like
fetishizing you?
Even then,
racially.
He is like, yeah, even in this, he is kind of like, well, what I mean is like...
Do you think James
Bond...
I'm going
to be racist when I want to fuck you.
Do you think James Bond has a Polaroid of him with his arm around like a Japanese person and giving like the thumbs up or something? And at the bottom, it's written not racist.
He's
got a bunch of Polaroids to bust out at various... No, see, look at this.
How could I be racist when I fuck a lot of different women? Okay.
He probably has a Q Rolodex with all of his Polaroids.
Every ethnicity.
That prove, question mark, he's not racist.
Yeah, just a normal thing to do. Keep your Polaroids.
Your racially categorized sex Polaroids.
007, when you turned in the Aston Martin after your last mission, I found your pictures.
It was quite upsetting. You're reporting it to HR.
Again.
H what? I'm sorry. Continue, Mike. Oh, I guess that's kind of it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, the rest of it, there's like, you know, the rest of the stuff is
the
fun stuff.
Well, the girl double crosses him and like traps him in a Murphy bed, and then some dudes come in and shoot up the bed.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about
his death. And then Bond dies, quote unquote, is dead.
So were they all in on it?
The woman,
I think she was definitely in on it.
Whoever.
And the guys who shoot, quote unquote, shot him.
So what was it fake blood?
I guess so. How did he survive the... bullets? Who knows?
I don't think the cops knew that came in, but I think she knew, and the guys who shot up the place knew.
Well, interesting.
Okay. I would assume anyway.
I don't know.
But yeah, they put him in a bag and do a whole service for his funeral, and
they heavily publicize in the newspapers that naval commander,
yeah, British naval commander. They paid off some people to get at the top story in the news. Again, like, why does Hong Kong care?
Yeah, and why would the public at large?
I guess it was British.
I mean, I know that's the whole plot is they want his many enemies to think he's dead, but why would you heavily publicize that one of your spies, like
one of our spies in Hong Kong,
is dead?
Well, it's the problem is they had to do this because M was like, 007, I've been told that every mission you go on, you just blatantly tell them your name.
You tell everyone Bond, your first James and Bond. Last name. So everyone knows who you are and that you're a fuck machine.
Why aren't you using your code name?
Why don't you ever introduce yourself as 007?
Or just make up a name.
It's like, well, I thought I was supposed to show my 007 badge. Like, we never gave you a badge.
it's a cool name.
You're supposed to be covert.
And if we did, you wouldn't show it to people.
I mean, I guess that's a critique of any kind of, like, spy fiction of, like, realistically, spies are, like, the most average-looking, like, forgettable-looking people on purpose.
I'm not going to James Bond for realistic
No, you're
spy.
You're not
it's
going...
Kinda, this whole, I mean, not to jump ahead several decades and several movies, but they do address this in Casino Royale. Like, there's a moment when they get to Montenegro, the titular Casino Royale, and... Eva Green gives like their code name, fake name, and he's like, or no, he says like, well, it's the name's Bond, but you'll find it under, you know, whatever the name was. I can't remember. And his whole explanations was like, James Bond's like, look, like if he's so well connected, he knows who I am and what I'm doing here, where the money's coming from. So that movie does. I think it's funny that movie addresses that whole spy 60s trope of the fact that he always gives his name away. But
first
the funny thing about that
name.
The funny thing about that is in the subsequent Daniel Craig movies, he just says his name. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's like it's weird that he's like such a known quantity. Like he would probably like never.
Everyone knows his name, what he looks like, that he has a huge weakness for fucking every single woman he ever meets.
Everybody knows your name.
They take advantage of this all the time.
That's like half the plot is taking advantage of Bond.
Of the fact that he will fuck anyone.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, so we discussed the plot, but there's a lot of stuff in this movie. The details are what set this movie apart. I mean,
and there's some cool stuff.
There's some great stuff in this movie. Like,
I like this more than I was expecting to.
Same.
Well, issues aside, the blatant racism, of course, but like those issues aside, like this is a big, dumb, fun movie. Capital D for dumb, but it is enjoyable. Like, honestly, this might be my favorite Connery Bond. Maybe. I'm not sure because I have such a... I've talked about... Yes, I know, and I've had that reaction before. I have such a soft spot for the climax of this movie that takes place in an actual set. That volcano set was real. They built that. It was literally to scale, and it was like the largest set I think ever built at the time.
Oh, wow.
It was gigantic.
That was the most, that whole scene was the most, I felt like that Simpsons episode where he works for like the Bond villain.
With Hank Scorpio. Just that moment is so cool when explosions are going off and you see these ninjas rappel down. You got like
100
ninjas. Yeah, all for real. And it's like, that is awesome. That's just something you don't see done for real practically in movies much anymore. And I really love that. That's my favorite moment from the movie, bar none.
That's a good moment. I had honestly, even at that point in the movie, forgotten about the like Ninja Academy element. So when they come back, I'm like, it's the ninjas!
The Ninja Academy was great.
What is his, Tanaka's line where he's just like, Bond is like, oh, do you have commandos? And he's like, no, I've got better. Ninjas.
Then cut to.
Oh, that scene was so funny too, because he's like, they're masters of like, surprise, and then we cut to just a bunch of guys. I'm like, oh!
Yeah, these guys don't really, like, as cool as it
they're
is.
They're doing, like, martial arts, but, like, the ninja stuff.
They don't, yeah, maybe I am not an authority on ninjas. But
seems
they
like
don't
a lot of yelling.
Seem like what I think of as ninjas. They kind of just seem like dudes with guns.
Well,
those are the modern ninjas?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jackie. Those are the modern ninjas when we shoot guns.
Oh, right.
We don't practice
modern
martial arts.
We have modern ninjas, too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was hoping for a little more ninja action, but maybe, I don't know, maybe that was ninja action. I don't know. Maybe I'm...
Well, that leads to the question, and maybe this is answered in the special features or something, but so this is 1967. I'm pretty sure like the Shaw Brothers and Golden Harvest were making martial arts films around this time. If not, they would start very soon. So it just made this, I have the vibe that this is a Westerner's take on, you know,
yeah,
like the culture and maybe
true,
like ninjas.
Well, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hadn't come out yet, so the West didn't really understand.
No one in the West had ninja fever just yet.
I mean, you see them practicing some martial arts, and there's like sword play and stuff. Like, it kind of just seems like a, you know, throwing everything in the kitchen sink, you know, kind of approach. Like, some Westerner, maybe Ian Fleming, like got some of the pieces, but didn't have the whole picture.
Yeah.
And maybe they elaborated on some things. I don't know.
Perhaps they made assumptions just based on racism and et cetera. And
we're going to assume that you got ninjas wear dumpy gray outfits. Like, those outfits
probably
are
looks a little
terrible.
Something like this, right?
I'm sorry, like that gray outfit, that gray ninja outfit that Sean Connery wears at the end of the movie is not very flattering.
Oh man, we need to talk about poor Sean Connery in this movie. Like, I feel like he's almost like
checked out.
Well, in a way, but a part of me is like, is the, because I know going in he was like over being 007, but also like I feel like the movie, I feel like if I were him, I'd be like, God, really? Like this? Like he's put in the dumbest helicopter. Like that scene in particular, I feel like he is like, I don't want to be here. What are we doing?
Wait. Are you talking badly about Little Nelly?
Oh my God. This is the dumbest. I mean, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it, but it was by far the dumbest thing we've seen in this franchise so far.
Were they just going to have him in a special car again? No way. They got to up the stakes, man.
With a comically like ridiculous tiny like it's like an IKEA assembled helicopter.
And it's like orange with little racing stripes.
Even the people in the movie are like, really?
I know, everyone's giving it a look of like,
what is
like,
this toy?
Aki's like, oh, I was attracted to him.
Yeah, barely. She just quietly steps out of the room.
I have much curiosity, Bonsan. What is Little Nelly?
Oh, she's a wonderful girl. Very small. Quite fast. Can do anything. Just your type.
A toy helicopter?
No, it's certainly not a toy. You'll see. We've made one or two improvements since you used her last. I'll give you the drill.
This can only be for children. Don't use it, Bonsan. Take my helicopter instead.
He gets into it, and he's, like, trying so hard to squeeze into this little tiny thing. And, yeah.
It's like, oh, hold on, 007. Let's add to the shame. Let's wear this goofy-looking hat with the
put
camera
on your goofy
in
little
it.
Hat.
Yeah, we have a GoPro.
Got a GoPro on the helmet.
Yeah, it's basically like the helicopter equivalent of like the beanie with the propeller blades on top of it.
Han's like, no one's gonna fuck me in this.
Yeah, and so like he goes on his scouting mission on it, and the helicopter is like chasing him, like actual cool helicopters are chasing him and stuff. But yeah, so there's that moment. There's the moment where he has to dress up like a Japanese person, which is ridiculous.
Which is really, I mean, again, it would have been worse, but the fact that it happened at all is...
Let's pump the brakes, because this demands a longer conversation.
Yes.
So the turning Japanese scene of this movie and the subsequent scenes that follow. So they posit that, all right, we're going to need to quote-unquote turn you Japanese so that you can infiltrate this village and investigate Spectre, basically. They know they're dealing with Spectre at this point in the movie. And there's this long sequence where they, like, you know, put, like, fake hair on him. They shave some parts of him. The eyelid part, which is just, like, I cringed through my seat. Like, I phased through my seat. I was like, ugh. It's so bad. And as you said earlier, Jackie, it serves zero purpose, because the whole time Spectre knows that he's there, and it's like he's not fooling anyone with this disguise.
No,
so
it's not like he's
done.
When they're done, it's like, well, that's Sean Connery with a wig, like
with a bad wig and the like pieces of like you know, the prosthetics like over his eyes.
Why did he have to shave his chest? Like, is he gonna be like bare chested in this
village?
Like,
obviously you're gonna have your tits out all the time. We gotta get rid of that rug. Well,
inexplicably, I don't know if this is the case or not. It's never explained, but like, so they get on, they go onto the village. We didn't mention this. He has to get fake married to someone on the island.
Also, there are obviously Japanese people with dark body hair. Like, that's they exist.
So they go and they get with the fishing village, and then they sort of like break off so they can investigate this volcano cave or whatever. And they jump in the water when gas starts to emerge to kill him. And when they come out, I guess Sean Connery's like his eye stuff and everything is just washed away, I guess.
Sure, yeah. Just like her clothes are.
Because after that, he just looks like Sean Connery. So it's like, what was the point of
what
any of
was
that?
The point of this? Also, the fact that when he's getting like the prosthetics and like the chest waxing or whatever, the women performing it are the same from the bath scene earlier. They were just there in like bras and panties.
God, what was that line? It's like, women, it's literally like, men are better than women. Yes.
Or is it like, it was like, well, in Japan, men come first always and women come second. Bond's like, cool.
I could get used to it.
And if Austin Powers there, he would say, and sometimes not at all.
Oh, behave.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I don't understand it, because the movie constantly undercuts this whole thing, like, because, like, so he's training on Tiger's Island. No one's supposed to know he's there. No one's supposed to know he's alive. No one's supposed to know that he's James Bond, because he's got this clear.
Remember, he died?
I mean, I don't recognize him. I mean, the prosthesis, the wig, it's a totally different guy. But
it's clearly not James Bond.
While all this is going on, they are constantly attacked by Spectre agents. Like, I forget her name. Aki, I believe, is her name. She gets poisoned. So clearly they know he's there. So what is the point of any of this?
Well, we needed to kill off the first Bond girl so that we could bring in the second Bond girl.
Yeah, like, it's not like the ninja who came into poison was like, oh, wait a minute. It's just like a normal Japanese man.
We got the wrong house.
Call it off.
Sorry, guys. Wrong.
It's not James Bond at
all.
Got
the wrong apartment.
I see his chest is bare. It can't be James Bond.
You know,
it's clearly Japanese.
The setup of everything is ridiculous, but I do enjoy this scene at Tiger's place when the guy comes in and poisons Aki, because it's such a, I don't know what it is, it's such a cool, like, ninja espionage type of thing. He sneaks in the roof, and he just, like, you know, he drops down this little bit of string or whatever, a thread, and like, the way that he just dips the little bit of poison so that it beads down and gets on her lips, like, I thought that was, like, cool spy stuff.
And then Bond, like, sits up and just shoots him with a gun.
I know.
I was thinking when he was doing the beaded poison, I was like, "What? Just shoot him. Just shoot. Take a gun out." And
yeah, why the subterfuge? Just blow him away.
He's asleep. Like, you
but
could.
No, you're right. The string is great. Then
they could have just snuck in, and he could have put like a pillow over his face or something.
Yeah. I know, honestly.
This is the age old thing with James Bond, and again, they make fun of this in Austin Powers, where it's like, just shoot him. He's right there. I'll go get a gun. We'll shoot him together. It'll be fun. But again, it, like, I feel like this movie is the peak of craziness with James Bond, certainly in the Connery era. Like, it jumped up from Russia with Love into Goldfinger into Thunderball into this into the space as far as the craziness. And again, like I'm all here for it. It's so goofy and fun. It's the whole movie has this vibe. It's interesting because there's a lot of conflicting things. Like I was going to say, this movie has this fun vibe, but there's also the undercurrent of, you can clearly tell that Connery just doesn't really care anymore. Like there are certain scenes where he just doesn't seem like he's in it, and he's like, you know what I mean? I can hear his sighs of resignation.
Yeah, and I almost wonder if like if they're leading into that with some of this, because like I feel like it. It kind of makes sense of some of it, because the vibe of some of this is like, I'm not entirely kidding, that it like it feels like it's like Bond put in like annoying situations or.
Interesting thing to note, I don't know if this is the only one, but in this movie, James Bond never drives a car. He's always driven.
That's because I was gonna say he doesn't know how to drive on the left, but of course he
definitely does.
No, that doesn't quite work. But I mean, yeah, Little Nelly, volcano set, the fact that a giant claw machine just literally gobbles these spaceships up, all of these things are just so goofy and fun. I'm here for the ride, you know.
Yeah, I see that. It is like, and it just kind of goes like there's. I was less like some of the James Bond movies. I get like bored at parts, but I was never bored in this one, I'll say.
So there's another big thing about this movie that we need to talk about: Donald Pleasance.
Oh yeah,
the reveal of Blofeld finally in what will become his titular outfit. This like tan, you know. Suit,
it's like
whatever.
A Mandarin cut suit.
Yeah, and so this is the reveal of Blofeld. We've had him just we've only ever seen him below the neck, and
I've only seen the.
How
cat.
Did you guys feel about this reveal?
It was, I think, an effective reveal because I knew he was gonna have like one messed up eye or something. I didn't know or like didn't remember that he's got like the way they do like the makeup and like the skin pulling over his eyes.
Yeah, it's gross.
Like, it's fucked up looking.
What happened?
Pleasance, can really sell the crazy eyes aspect of it.
Yes, yeah.
My previous cat clawed my face, so I had to get a new one.
Speaking of, yeah, it's just a cat wound. Speaking of the cats, so when we pulled up the film to watch, like blurb is in the fifth of the James Bond, secret agent 007 is sent to Japan to investigate his cat loving volcano headquartered arch nemesis and Spectre's head man Blofeld. It's like, I love that we start with cat loving.
Where did you read this? Where was the synopsis from?
On the stores de voodoo.
Oh, okay. This cat-loving nemesis.
His cat
if there's one thing
nemesis.
We know about Blofeld, he loves his cat.
I mean, really, like, originally, I forget the name of the guy. This originally, Donald Pleasance was not the guy that was Blofeld in this movie. It was another guy. It was a bearded guy, like a bigger guy. I can't remember his name, but he kind of talked, he had a huskier talk like this. And it's like, no.
He needs the creepy little Mr. Bond.
That quiet evil, you know what I mean? Like, and I think Pleasance nails that in this movie. This might be a turn for Pleasance. I'm not exactly sure, but I feel like prior to this, he'd kind of played more quiet, you know, British guys like in The Great Escape. And I think after this movie, he kind of had a run of villain work.
Was Blofeld in like played by Pleasance before? I mean, I know we didn't see him, but heard him.
No.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, he's good. I liked him as it. It was, though, a little silly to see him do action stuff towards the very end.
Anytime he has to run, I'm
silly man running around.
Well, I think Pleasance put in the stunt work, in particular one scene. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but in the scene at the end when they're inside, like, you know, they're behind the blast shield doors or whatever, the shutters.
Close the shutters.
Close the shutters.
Yeah, close the shutters. Hans, close the shutters. There's the when shit's going down and there's starting to be explosions in this room, he's got the cat in his arm. And I don't know if you noticed, but the cat goes batshit.
Yes,
crazy.
I did see that. I did see that because like there's a war going on.
Yeah.
Like, why did you bring your cat? You shouldn't have.
Well, in particular, and I say stunt work because you could tell this cat freaks out, and you could see the claws, like, in Donald Pleasance's arm and his chest as he's holding this cat as it's freaking out as real explosions are going on. And you just know. To anyone who's ever held a cat that's been scared or freaked out, the claws go in, and it's like, ah, get this thing off me. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. That's how you can tell he's an actor, that he doesn't just
he did not break character. But if you watch that scene again and look at Pleasance's face, you can tell he's like, oh, God, I'm in so much pain right now. This cat is like on to me.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Django Unchained when he like smashes the glass.
Oh, yes.
I gotta finish the scene. Finish the scene.
Okay. It's okay, Mittens. Mittens, come on.
But like I said, for anyone who's ever experienced that, it is very painful. And it's like when you try to get the cat off you, the cat's like freaking out and confused. The claws are out. You're like, it's like, you have to, like, get away. Oh, God, it's latched on. And so I commend Pleasance for
keeping a straight face. I would love to have seen, the B-roll of, after that scene was, after they cut, what? God!
Me! I'll be in my trailer drinking two bottles of wine.
Yes. I wonder, did they go through several cats, I wonder?
Oh, I'm sure there were multiple cats. This is the 60s.
How tranked up were those cats, too?
I mean, you hope so. You hope they are.
Oh, God. Yeah, that is what. Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, maybe it's because it was the 60s, but you would think they couldn't just get a little puppet in there or something while explosions are going off,
But. You see him when they descend, he just puts the cat away or something, and
yeah.
Puts them on a little tiny trolley on their tram system. Maybe they have one.
This is not
specifically
a little car.
Size.
Yeah.
Littlefield's lair, even if it's not being assaulted by ninjas, is a dangerous place. There's apparently piranha fish floating around.
Piranhas.
It's cats like fish. I could see his cat batting at the water.
I have a bone to pick with the piranhas.
Chad, can we get a rim shot, please?
This is just a missed opportunity. It's used, and I do like the piranha. I'm glad they're there.
Twice.
But we never
you
got
only
the
piranha twice.
We never get the moment where the person goes in and then a skeleton floats up.
I know. I was really hoping.
I was waiting for that.
The redhead that we'd see.
or at least a skull or something.
Or like her red outfit or some tattered red fabric. Come on. We had an opportunity there.
Or at the very least, I don't know if they do this, but a big blood pile in the water.
Well, or just a big red plume.
Yeah, yeah. Pile. I'm sorry. A pile of blood.
You fish the bones out and then you give them to the cat.
Oh, he loves the bones.
How cool would that have been if later in the movie, after that scene when he kills his subordinate, where it's you see the cat just sort of gnawing at these bones.
Walking off the bone.
That would be missed opportunity, man. Oof.
I love that evil cat.
the cat's the real brains of the operation.
No, the cat knows what Blofeld's politics are and agrees with them and co-signs all of them.
As long as you keep feeding me human bones, I'm fine. I'm A-okay.
Actually, it's my favorite treat, so obviously I'm sticking with this guy. Yeah, he's great.
I can't wait for the superpowers to fall.
Oh, that reminds me. That's something that's not really elaborated on too much. So apparently Blofeld is doing deals with the Chinese, I guess. But it's not, they never elaborate on that. It's so is this a Chinese spy agency? Is it the Chinese government in general?
Yeah, is Spectre employed by a specific government, or Spectre's just doing whatever they, whoever pays them the most? Yeah, highest bidder.
Column A,
kind
column
of.
B.
Okay.
And it's I don't think.
Well, he wanted that gold bullion too at the end when he.
$100 million.
Yeah, where he's just
gold bullion.
Isn't that literally Austin Powers? Isn't that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Extortion's my business.
Well, isn't the joke in Austin Powers where he says $1 million something?
Yes, yeah. $1 million.
It's actually not very much money these days.
But I just think that's an interesting bit that it's I guess just the Chinese government in general is partnered with Spectre. I would buy that Spectre is kind of freelance. If someone wants a job done, they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're mercenaries.
Yeah, they'll also exploit you, or extort you, but
we'll do both.
We'll do both. The two for one deal from Spectre. Exploitation and extortion.
And piranhas.
And yes.
And piranhas.
come to the volcano lair and see the piranhas.
I do love the just talking about the volcano lair. I do love too the like the trams. It like you never really see a wide shot too far of like the trams, but I got the feeling they're going like 10 feet. Like,
oh, definitely. Like, that is a track they built. Like, that's
no,
that's,
yeah, that was an actual little monorail system that they built on the set.
Wow,
it went around the set. Yeah.
But well, that's what I mean. Like it doesn't seem like it goes very. It doesn't seem like it goes distance such that you would need a motorized transportation. Like,
well, it's almost like why not just walk over there instead of sitting in this thing that goes 5 miles an hour and goes around the circumference of the volcano. Maybe I'll just go straight across. It'll be a lot faster.
Blofeld loves a nice leisurely little ride with his cat.
Yeah, it's totally like I don't even know if this is on. It seems like something that would be an Austin Powers of like, oh, let me come over there, and then instead of walking, he gets into the monorail that slowly goes like around the whole building.
Well, that reminds me of a moment. So there's at the end of the movie, like Blofeld has Bond captured. The ninjas are blowing up.
The ninjas are descending.
He's like, come with me, Mr. Bond. This is after the cat freaks out on him. It's like, we're gonna take a little ride first, and then they get out. Or no, do they get in the I'm trying to remember, like
I think they go to like a monorail to like another room.
Yeah, then, he kills a subordinate, and then don't they get into a monorail ride, get off, and then he's like, "Okay, now I'll kill you."
Yeah, yes. He gets onto one, and he's like, "I'm gonna monorail away, and while I do, I'm gonna kill you." But then he got ninja starred.
Well, it's just the whole thing is weird because, like, follow me, Mr. Bond. They go a distance. He kills a subordinate. They walk a little further. And then he's like, okay, now I'll kill you over here. It just doesn't make sense. Like, why not just leave him? Like, it's one of the many things that doesn't make sense about this movie and these movies in general.
You just got to roll with it.
It's goofy fun.
Yeah. It is goofy fun. Where I'm trying to remember, there's a scene in the middle of the movie where Bond is on a rooftop fighting people.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the coolest looking shot I feel like we've had in James Bond, maybe.
Yeah, it's like this helicopter shot that just pulls out. You get the whole, and it's kind of unintentionally hilarious because you see him take out these people as he goes throughout the roof, and then eventually it just ends with him running, and you get like 10 people like chasing him, like from behind, and they're all fanned out. Like it's unintentionally hilarious.
It's a wild shot. Like it looks, I don't know. Like it looks like expensive.
Oh yeah.
You were saying that there's someone who shot this who's like a some legendary cinematographer.
Yes, let me hold on 1 second. I forgot his name, but the guy who worked on this movie, who shot the movie, I want to say his name is Freddie Jones, I think. Hold on 1 sec, I'll pull it right up. I'm checking.
Beep, beep, beep,
yeah,
beep.
Chad is so slow nowadays.
Beep, 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 beep.
YouTube.
Oh, Freddie Young. The guy who shot this movie was Freddie Young, who also shot Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay, wow. So he knows how to shoot a fucking picture.
He knows how to shoot
and
people
Dr.
in
Zhivago.
Racist makeup.
Yeah.
Yes. But for all the goofiness of this movie, like it does have a lot of pedigree behind the camera, namely this guy, Freddie Jones, and just like some of the shots in this movie are so freaking beautiful. Like when they're at the Japanese fishing village and you see like the sunsets and everything, like just yeah.
Oh, when they go to Tokyo for the first time and like it's
oh,
night
yeah.
and all
the neon.
This is definitely like hitting the one of my favorite things I've talked about in the James Bond movies, going back to the first one that I love, is like the visual tourism that you get.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This one crushed it on that front.
Oh yeah.
I would say honestly, this is the of the ones we've watched so far, this is the best looking James Bond movie.
It's uneven, I think. I think it has moments that are, but you also have the spaceship on strings.
Yeah, but, well, okay, that aside, I mean, like, the actual, you know, not the visual effects stuff, but the actual, like, cinematography on the ground.
The ground cinematography.
It's certainly not the little Nelly Sean Connery in front of a projection screen.
Oh, yeah.
When firing his machine guns.
That sequence where he's, like, meant to be flying low over them. Like, whoa. That didn't work at all.
No. Especially because his face the whole time is just kind of, like,
What am I doing?
I can't believe they made me wear this stupid hat.
Come to this, Sean.
Yes. That's his inner monologue the whole movie. So it's come to this.
Sean, you could be doing anything right now. You could be fucking so many women. And you're sitting here.
I'd be on a beach in the Bahamas.
I could have been playing golf. Sean Connery loves his golf.
Yeah. It looks good, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff that does look good. I'm trying to think, and like, I think Dr. No from it's tough because we just saw this, so I need to stew on it a bit more. But I think Dr. No still has more of the visual tour. Like, I'm more excited to visit the Bahamas after seeing Dr. No than like Japan after seeing this, you know. But
okay, that's fair.
But this would probably be second. Like,
well. It's hard for gorgeous cinematography to contend with sexy ass sweaty nightclub.
I'm telling you, that nightclub's the biggest special effect in James Bond.
Yeah. Nice little cocktail and just chilling with your friend.
What was his name?
Quarrel.
Oh, you could literally, rest in peace, Quarrel.
You guys couldn't see it. Listeners, you couldn't see it, but in that moment, a little buffering logo appeared over my forehead.
Best friend, Quarrel.
of course, Quarrel.
Of course, I forgot.
Speaking of Quarrel, this movie does have a great one of the classic, like, Bond goes to a new place. There's a bad guy? No, it's a friend.
Or is it?
Yes.
Oh, it's a friend.
I will never understand. I mean, it's a funny Bond trope, but it's always it never really makes any sense. It's like, you know, he has a contact. He meets his contact. Yeah. So the contact, Aki, knows he's James Bond. Yep. He's supposed to meet Tiger, but instead they're like, let's play with this guy a bit.
That seems very
let's play
risky.
Around with him. Yeah, no, it definitely
let's just
is.
Have like a chase sequence and let's like throw him into like a trap door. Like, yeah. What if he like broke his ankle or something? Or he even just like sprained his ankle. That's like, man, the mission's going to suffer
now. We really want to use our trapdoor slide because it's really fun.
Trapdoor slide straight into the goofiest. Again, this is making Bond look goofy, but it's the trap door that he falls into, and then he's immediately put in the goofiest, like, little low, like, it reminds me of a chair you'd see in, like, a cartoon strip where someone's talking to, like, a psychologist or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hello, hold on, let me make a phone call. Hello, M, this is Tiger. Bad news, James Bond broke his tailbone when he fell down into my trapdoor into my psychologist chair.
He's fine, but he's not going to be able to do the mission.
Did you send someone else? Sorry.
Sorry, wait, I'm sorry, you did what with James Bond? Trapdoor? Well, we had to play the classic cat and mouse game.
Having a little fun. yeah, no, but it is my bad.
Why do you have a trapdoor?
wait, you're telling me you have an underground train system? I don't have that. Oh, that's pretty cool.
That sounds great.
So who does your lair? I want an underground train.
Speaking of layers, setups, when we first see Blofeld's like whole digs and all of that, Michael did say out loud, "Now that's a lair."
Blofeld's digs?
Yeah. It's a lair. He's got
he's got fucking piranhas.
Yeah, he's got the piranhas. He has the stone fireplace. It's big. It's like his...
All of his art.
Yeah, like specifically his room. Yeah, you have the art that's probably like stolen art, you imagine.
You know, that makes me wonder, what's the accommodations like for the rest of Blofeld's crew? So clearly Blofeld's living large. Is everyone else just living in like bunk beds and like little caves and stuff?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
They should unionize.
They're in it's hot because they're in the volcano.
Yeah.
It's not temperature controlled.
Like the only other area we see in the volcano set is like where they keep the astronauts, the kidnapped astronauts. And it's just like this room with like cots or something.
It doesn't look awful, actually. Like I was expecting worse. It just looks like a bare bones room.
But again, the question is, how are the accommodations for the cronies? It's just like, why else would you join Spectre? It's like,
why would you join Spectre?
The rooms are just fine, but the insurance is actually really good.
Where do they recruit their goons? Like, they have a lot of them. They employ a lot of... And, like, where's the infrastructure to support? There's got to be, like, a lot of running water, like, food. A lot of food. They're going through a lot of food.
Well, luckily, they have access to a lot of boats.
Oh, I have a question for you regarding Blofeld's lair. Were you guys at all fooled by the quote-unquote water in the bottom of the pit of the volcano?
Well, I feel like for a lot of
I guess I should say, did it, like, what do you think you would be fooled by it?
Well, I threw a rock at it, and I clearly heard that it was,
Isn't it, like, actual water for a lot of it, but then, like, all, they just will cut to, like, the plastic?
I think when they filmed the aerial stuff, it was real with water. Yeah.
To be fair, though, I'm sure they're not expecting anybody, you know, picnickers to just walk down to the bottom of the volcano and throw rocks in it. So. And also, if they did, it's like, we got another
liquidate
group.
Them.
Yes, I love that bit. Like when someone went like.
It says, photograph taken by female American tourist from coastal vessel. The woman has been liquidated as a routine precaution.
That's such a funny offhand line. Like when Connery is
so
when
casual.
Bond is when Bond is talking to Tiger Tanaka, his M's opposite in the Japanese spy game or whatever, they're talking about these pictures that they found, and Tiger at one point goes, they're reading like the notes that I guess the Spectre agents put on the picture or whatever. It's like, the girl has been liquidated as a part of a routine, you know, process or whatever.
Yeah, and
Bond,
she has been liquidated.
Bond has a line that's like, poor, you know, tourist killed for blah, blah, blah. But no one comments on the liquidated part.
I know. We found her at the usual oil drum.
Oh, yeah. Everything, like, oh, skin and bones, melted.
There's a lot of, like, melting going off screen going on in this movie.
I am taking liquidated as not, like, liquefied.
Oh, I,
but just,
I
like,
see what you mean.
Just liquidated killed. In the terms of, like, it has been removed. We've, like, that like would, when okay. a, when a store is, like, we're liquidating.
That would be funny if
but
they
that's
if
a very specific
acid,
word.
It is.
They could have just said
it is, but
it
I think
been taken
I,
care of or something like
I
that.
I don't think
liquidated?
They meant liquefied.
Fair enough.
I don't know about you guys, but when I send all the company emails, like whenever we're talking about an issue, I always refer to it as being liquidated when it's solved.
Yeah, when you're killing people.
You kill all those tourists.
People who come too close to the store. Those are customers, Dave. They're just trying to rent
Hey, Dave,
tapes.
Did you take care of that problem last week, the late fees? It's been liquidated. What? Was it what?
Hey, what?
We should start.
I killed the customer. That's what I'm saying.
Let's let's start bringing liquidated back. Let's take it back
from big bankruptcy.
Speaking of, you know, that's a good. Speaking of, like, standard operating procedures in this movie, let's talk about the quote unquote usual reception that Tiger has with the goons that are chasing Bond and Aki in the car.
They bring out that giant magnet on a helicopter all the time.
That was cool. That looked like they really had a car
really
on
it.
Like
yeah.
a magnet with the helicopter on a car.
Well, and also that the solution is like, oh, this guy, these, you know, goons are following us. Time to just pick up their car and drop it in the water. Kill them.
They don't even bother to shoot up at the helicopter. That's
what
that's
does he
taken.
Say? Like, Japanese efficiency.
He says, "How's that for Japanese efficiency?" And then Bond says, "To drop in the ocean."
It's wild to me that is the usual reception. Like, is there a pile of cars sticking out of the ocean somewhere?
Yeah, they like drop the car in and it like doesn't sink because it's standing on
it
top
just
of
hits
a mountain.
The other cars that they've dropped in there before.
Some just like shipping boat is gonna like
careen.
Run into. They're like, what the fuck? It's a pile of cars and they all have bodies in them.
It's like, this just in the news, there's actually a new artificial coral reef that has been formed in the ocean surrounding a lot of cars and a lot of dead bodies that have been recovered. We don't know where the cars have come from, but more on this story as it develops. Cut to Tiger, like, oh shit, we need to find a new ocean.
Tiger's like, I need to stop doing this, but it's so fun.
But it's so cool.
So cool.
And once again, you cut to M watching this news report, and he's like, what the hell? We never do anything that cool when we liquidate people.
He gets on the phone, he's like, Tiger, what the hell? Tiger. You're not sharing your...
You guys got magnets, you got trapdoors.
You're not sharing your magnet technology with us, your allies?
Money Penny, magnets. Look into it.
Money Penny, magnets, how do they work?
You gotta think M is like, I'm sitting here in a fucking submarine, and this guy, he's got like this cool tunnel system and all this stuff. You gotta imagine M is jealous of Tiger. And he's got a cooler name.
Yeah.
Oh, way cooler.
Shame. Anyway.
Well, any other thoughts on
this movie?
I
wanted to ask, like, I could have looked this up, but I'd rather just hear it straight from the horse's mouth. Did it, like, do well? Is it received well? Or, like,
yeah.
Because you said this is your favorite Sean Connery Bond, and it's the last one, I know. So I'm, like, wondering, like, was it declining? Was it, like, was this, like, ooh, it's not doing Thunderball numbers?
Well, it didn't. I don't think it made quite as much as Thunderball, but it was a very big success. It also had, like Thunderball, a very large budget. I want to say it was, like, $9 or $10 million. So this was a big success. Made a lot of money. It was kind of, I don't think we would really get major diminishing returns until the next Bond movie with George Lazenby replacing Sean Connery.
Poor
that
Lazenby.
That was a crater. The box office cratered with that one, which is ironic because when we talk about that, technically that while it did crater the box office, it was still one of like the top, I think, 10 or 20 movies of that year, nonetheless.
And it also critically, that's, I know, I don't know maybe at the time, but I know now critically that's considered one of the best Bonds.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Time has been kind to the next movie we'll talk about, but You Only Live Twice. I honestly, like, if we're talking about the legacy of this movie and its reputation now, I think a lot of people, like, and just, you know, just in general, probably look at this movie more and think about Austin Powers than anything else.
Yeah,
like it's almost like the unintentional legacy of this movie is.
I didn't realize, like,
decades later.
I thought Austin Powers was all Goldfinger, and there's a lot of that in Austin Powers, but
sure.
but yeah, you're right. Like, this is definitely like the one that is the most. It's kind of wild, like, how much is going on. It kind of makes me want to. I should watch Austin Powers. Should I watch Austin Powers?
Right. It's like an unintentional side effect with this movie. Every time I watch it, I think at the end, like, I should put in Austin Powers.
Like, Austin Powers would be kind of fun, right?
I bet that first one has aged.
It's well, aged.
I could see it being good.
Well, maybe like, oh, but I don't know if it's we're going to be barely looking back at that one and be like, oh, so ahead of its time.
Well, I think whatever your thoughts on Austin Powers, like, they definitely do a good job of parodying the Bond elements.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When you watch it, you're like, oh yeah, this is Bond. Especially the part at there was a deleted scene, an alternate ending for Austin Powers, where if you guys recall in Austin Powers, they get out of that Vegas base and escape. But the alternate ending was they were just supposed to randomly be in a raft in the ocean.
Yes.
Like,
oh,
with
they
no explanation as to how they got there.
I mean,
that's so
that
good.
Is Bond's favorite move, is to just end up on
a
flotation
with a
device. Yeah, with a babe. And that's it, kid.
Speaking to that, so the movie begins, so it's like, all right, so M and I feel like
Monty
I never
Python?
Say her name. Monty I never say her name right. I always I feel like I always mispronounce it. Anyway, they're on the submarine, just kind of, you know, they're there. And they're in the field, so to speak. And the movie ends after the volcano base blows up. The Bond has foiled Blofeld's plans. He's in the raft with Kissy Suzuki is her name. We haven't mentioned her yet, but she's the wife that he is assigned. and they're making out.
Unfortunately,
in the raft.
With that name,
they're making out in the raft, and there's this like funny line with funny implications where she's like, "They're never gonna," or no, she's like, "What?" He says something like, "No, about that honeymoon," and she's like, "But they'll never like let us, whatever." He's like, "They'll never find us." So Bond is full on like, "We're going to die out here, but at least I'm going to get laid." So the implications there are something to think about, but. Right as they start making out, the raft starts to rise up, and suddenly you realize, oh, M is there with the submarine. And you gotta wonder, because he says, like, he tells Moneypenny, go up and tell him to report. what was that moment like? Money Pony going up and they're like naked in the raft. It's just like, oh.
No, that's why she says with pleasure. I think she knows that she's about to cock block him.
Or are they doing like a three-way? What's happening here? Is Monty Putty finally going to take this opportunity to be like, you know what? I'm going to get a little weird. A little freaky.
Like to watch Monty Penny?
Yes. She pulls the move that Bond did in Thunderball where he's like, well, Monty Putty, could you at least give me give me something to wear? Monty Putty just pulls out some shoes, plops them down in front of her, and then she just sort of sits down like, yeah, there you go.
Like, they're right ahead.
Yes. Monty Pony, I don't want you to think anything of this. It's cold out here. The water, there's a shrinkage issue. This is not indicative of... Anyway. But that's the movie. You only live twice.
You only live twice.
Well, let's get into it. Recommendations. Jackie, let's start with you. Would you recommend You Only Live Twice?
I would, with a lot of heavy caveats.
It's a James Bond movie.
It really doesn't help that his first line of dialogue is that really, really gross one. But aside from, you know, some of that and some of the, you know, the yellow face. You know, it is...
It's shorter than you think.
It's shorter than you think. There are ninjas, which is cool, and you get some very...
There's more ninjas than that.
Some beautiful, visual tourism of, late 60s Japan, which looks really cool. And there's also some really cool fashion that we see, which I always...
And the British shorts are great.
There are so many like flushed faced British men wearing their dorky ass shorts and knee socks.
Q in this.
Q, yes. So holy sweaty cow. And pissed off. That fashion was great. I definitely wasn't talking about like Aki or anything.
He looked like he was wearing like a safari outfit. Q.
It's the British colonizer.
I was gonna say that's the colonizer fit.
It's the bad guys in RRR.
Are we British and we're going to a part of the world that we may or may not have had hands in colonizing? That's kind of warm. Let's put on our stupidest fucking knee socks.
Yes.
A lot of cool women's fashion.
Nothing like an wool knee-high socks for a hot
Keep
environment.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? One thing, speaking of which, we forgot to mention, there there is a particularly dumb joke in this movie that always makes me laugh because it's kind of stupid. When Bond is being Bond and he's investigating this Osaka chemical plant, which has ties to Spectre, he's in their office and he's getting served sake, I think, or something like that.
98.5 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, something else we should talk about in a second.
Yes, I am a weeb.
But anyway, he's talking to this guy, Osaka, and his assistant comes in. And
she comes over with the champagne.
Champagne, that's what it was. And they start talking about, like, Osaka has, like, this... Apparently, he has a hidden X-ray device under his table.
He's giving all of his guests radiation.
Yes. He can see that Bond has a gun on him. But he's
By the way,
like,
Bond, you will never have kids.
You are ass cancer, just so you know.
Yes.
I gave you ass cancer.
And he starts talking about smoking. He's like, it's very bad for your chest. And then his assistant's there, and she's got like those 60s like pointy boobs.
Oh, she's got the pointy bra for sure. And she's got that, yeah, that line of like,
Mr. Osato believes in a healthy chest.
Really?
But like, that got me, like, all right, so we were going to bring back liquidation.
You're about to, like, your head is about to explode. This
because
is like
it's
scanners.
So crazy that was, like, speaking of fashion at the time, like, pointy bras.
They hadn't come up with anything better yet.
They hadn't figured out what boobs look like.
They weren't sure.
No one knew.
as women's fashion often is tied to war stuff and, because there was a slightly more... or at least less aggressively pointy kind of like undergarment shape in like the 20s and 30s. because there was a different kind of fashionable
boob.
They're
into angles.
But then the really pointy bra comes about during like World War II, and there's a lot of actually like essays you can read about like bras and war and et cetera.
Were
et cetera.
They functional? Was it like
stabby thing? What was yes. it called? Of like the gross nicknames of like torpedo tits or like, you know, women's sexuality tied to war and military and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, pointy bra stuck around for a while until, as we know, those dirty, dirty feminists wanted everyone to burn their bras now. But different breast shapes become fashionable and the pointy shape.
I just assumed it was because of all the deaths associated with the pointy bra. Like
all those eyes poked out.
Exactly. Like people getting stabbed.
No one talks about a generation of blind men.
A generation of one-eyed men. Got too close
the lost
to the pointy
generation.
Tits.
Literally
I
lost.
I was at my wedding and we were about to go for our dance and my wife impaled me with her bra.
I ducked too early and she moved and I. Anyway, that's how I lost the eye.
That's funny what story. Happened to Blowfield.
Yeah, his ex.
That's his scar.
Had too pointy a bra. He's been liquidated, by the way.
She's been liquidated, liquefied, and liquidated.
The pointy bra burned.
Noted feminist icon, yeah, Blowfield.
All employees must be braless. That is a feminist order.
It has nothing to do with the eye situation. It's unrelated.
Unrelated.
Mike, we'll get to you in a second. But while we're on just the PS to this, I suppose. Well, no, I was going to say, like, there's another, like, unintentionally comedic moment in this movie when Bond is getting information. It's before he meets Tiger. First, he's got to talk to this other guy, Henderson, before he could meet Tiger. And the guy gets stabbed. And Bond chases the guy. He disables him. And I love his tactic. He's like, all right, I'm going to put the guy's jacket on, put his hat on, put his little face
take his shoes
on, and then I'll pretend to be sick. Like
he's just like, oh,
we get Sean Connery as James Bond make a puke noise.
Pretty good.
It's such a funny moment because the guy never notices it's not his friend or whatever, that it's Sean Connery. He takes him all the way to Osaka Chemicals in a ride, picks him up, takes him upstairs for some reason to the top floor. And just that reveal where he takes the hat and the mask off and Bond's like, oh, hello.
Hello.
the fact that he got that far under that ruse is amazing to me.
Yeah, that at no point earlier was the other guy like, hey, you okay? Oh, what the fuck?
Like, hey, why aren't you saying anything to me? Like, it was an hour-long ride to the chemical plant.
He keeps
plant.
On being like, so do you want to stop for, like, hello? I was thinking maybe we could get some food before we go back. Are you okay?
Yes. Because he doesn't say anything. He just keeps going.
Okay, I'm driving us back to the headquarters, dude. So if you...
Our plan was to go all the way up to the 30th floor penthouse and then just, you know, chill there.
We were talking about, like, getting some noodles after the job, but okay, it's fine. We just go back.
I mean, I'm pretty hungry, but I guess we'll just axe that idea.
I guess I'll just get something
then.
Later. It's fine.
I just thought that was a funny scene, especially when he's like wearing what looked like zoot suit shoes.
I know, those shoes were very funny.
Anywho, I'm sorry. Mike, would you recommend You Only Live Twice?
I think so. You know, caveats included, but sure, it's a fun movie. You
fine
could do,
time.
You could, yeah, you could do worse.
We have.
I would agree. Again, all the caveats and the asterisks are there. They're clearly there next to my rating.
Look, it's a movie made by white people in 1967 about Japan. Just
Yeah. You got to expect it to be a little horrible.
You're going to be horrified a few times. We're sorry. My one last...
You got piranhas.
There are piranhas. One last thing that this movie made me think of a lot. Do you guys know that one... A Margaret Cho stand-up bit where she's, it's like her talking about like being, you know, limited with roles in Hollywood as an Asian woman. And she has some line where she's like, I don't want like the pinnacle of my career to be like, for example, like, welcome to Japan, Mr. Bond.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a good bit, and you know, obviously she has a lot of very good points about you know, the industry, but every time someone says something along those lines of like, welcome to Japan, Mr. Bond, I'm like, I'm glad you got work, actor, but I'm sorry that it was this. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I would recommend it too, caveats aside. It is very much of its time, unfortunately. But it is, like I said before, big, dumb fun with a capital B. Check it out. It's fun. I mean, this movie inspired a whole franchise that came decades later in Austin Powers. But that's it for You Only Live Twice. James Bond will be back, but Connery won't.
But Mr. Connery won't.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And now, I want to know before we get into it, like, is this going to be the first time for you guys for this one?
I saw it once a very long time ago and don't really remember it. So basically first time.
Okay, well, we'll liquidate you real quick. We'll liquidate your memory and then we'll bring you back so you can watch it.
It's been liquidated.
Oh, this shit is liquidated.
Well, we got to liquidate this episode now. We'll be back next time on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh.